Get started. Good to go, Pama. All righty, let's go. Can we get a roll call, please?
Chair Lapine.
I'm present.
Vice Chair Mike Baker.
I'm here.
Tony Mitchell. Will Ibershoff.
I am here.
Cindy Potter.
Here.
Dustin Hawkins. Jason Pollock. Jeff Hurd is excused. Jeremy Green. Nick Snead is excused. Penny Kudima. Steve Webb.
Here.
Tim Gassner. Tim Plummer.
Present.
And Trent Titus.
Present.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. All right, first on the agenda is discussion of the shopping cart regulations. Who has that?
That'll be City Attorney Garrett Krostek, who's joining us online on Zoom.
Hi, Garrett, can you give us a report?
Sure. So filling in for Nick here today, but the overall sort of message here is that there was some questions into exploring how to regulate shopping carts, and particularly shopping carts that have been abandoned and end up on the opposite side of town from the business that owns the shopping carts. And so there are some state statutes that deal with this, but in turn, those require some adoption by the local municipality. And yeah, so Fatma's pulled up some draft regulations that would implement those statutes. The general structure of the statutes is that they obligate businesses that utilize shopping carts to put some identifying information on their carts. And then there has to be a call line or similar means for the owner to be contacted, by whether that's from, you know, local police or whoever ends up finding these things, to put them on notice that there's a cart. It's either been, you know, taken into the city's possession, or it's still located in a given location, and that the owner needs to retrieve it in a timely fashion. And if they, it then provides basically a grace period to go collect that cart from wherever it is. And if it's not collected timely, then there's an ability to impose a fee essentially to recover the cart. So overall, it establishes some, you know, some incentive for prompt collection of carts once they're reported, and is something that the city could look to adopt should shopping carts continue to be an issue in the city. With that, I'm happy to take any questions.
Thanks. This is Mike. Couple of quick questions here. In the definition sections, it specifically calls out without limitation, will carts provided for the use of supermarket customers? Is there a need to have that designation for supermarket? Because there are other types of businesses that may also provide these carts, and it kind of seems to bias towards our local grocery stores.
It could certainly come out. I mean, what it's saying, including without limitation, supermarket shopping carts, if only because people most closely associate shopping carts with supermarkets.
It'd be my recommendation to strike that, because then supermarkets in and of itself is not defined as well, kind of differentiate between others. I know, whenever I'm driving around the Target ones up in Bend and Redmond, those really stick out because those are bright red, and technically they're not considered a supermarket as well. And then in section 9.35.020, it looks like, besides the typo at 2.0, 2B is asking to provide each cart would somehow have some kind of designation on the cart. Is there like a, is writing the number with a Sharpie acceptable? Is there some kind of standard that we would look at for this that would be kind of retro, I guess, for existing shopping carts, but easy to enforce moving forward?
Well, I mean, there wouldn't be retroactive application. If the city were to adopt this, then the cart providers would have to come into compliance with this such a, by posting it, the required information if they don't already. Are we going to get into some battles of whether a Sharpie is sufficient or, you know, a piece of paper that melts away when it rains? I mean, I suppose we could, but if for whatever reason that wasn't there when a cart was inspected, then the provider wouldn't be compliant. So certainly the I guess the practical expectation would be that they would use the same plastic ones you see at most shopping cart providers in other jurisdictions.
Okay. That makes more sense as you talk it out. And then my final question is for number three, it looks like based on my initial read through that we're asking someone who reports a lost cart to then somehow notify the city within 24 hours. Am I reading that correctly?
That's if you have a contractor. If the person who provides cars has a contractor who receives the calls, the contractor has to tell the shopping cart owner. So if the shopping cart providers, you know, pooled their resources and, you know, there was some shopping cart retrieval contractor, that's what that provision is talking about. Contractor has to both pass on that, you know, to the owner that they received a report, as well as the city. So the city can say, oh, okay, great. Now that person needs to, that particular owner needs to retrieve it within the time period.
Okay. And then for the case of the contractor, is there a point of contact with the city who this is then reported to? Does this go to code enforcement or who was envisioned? I mean, I got your cell. I can call you about the carts.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, the city would most likely have to designate a point person, but yeah, the code enforcement officer, you know, off the cuff seems like a likely person.
Probably also use the software that Nick Shop has now. People just go online, fill it out, and that way they wouldn't have to make a phone call. They just have access to it, and it transfers that information electronically. For other, because they use it for other coded violations too. So this is just a reporting that, hey, there's your shopping cart, and we've notified the owner of the cart, Thriftway, Safeway, Dollar Tree, whomever.
That's all my questions.
Thank you.
Thanks for
putting up. Oh, that's
good. Any other comments or questions on the cart regulations? Hearing none, then thank you, Garrett, for your presentation.
Sure, and just as a takeaway, so is the committee inclined to suggest or recommend that the city take this on, or what's the will of the committee or the direction for staff from the committee?
Committee,
my recommendation would be to move forward with formalizing something like this.
Is that a motion?
Yeah, I move that we make the recommendation to those in charge, city council, mayor, legal counsel, to move forward with.
So I have one question before we jump into that. So are you saying if this gets passed, then, and I go shopping all the time, really, but do all our grocery stores and grocery outlets and Bi-Marts and Safeway and Dollar Trees, do they all have their names and phone numbers on carts? That would get very expensive for them to all of a sudden have to get all new carts to put their name and phone number on.
They would have to be in addition. They already have their carts marked with their name, but not with the phone number or this ordinance on there. So that would be an addition.
So they would have to go get that expense and get all new carts and put that on?
No, they won't have to get new carts. They just have to add it to their carts.
Yeah, and Cindy, if you think about like Safeway, they have like a advertisement like thing they screw on. There could be something as simple as that. As we were talking about, I don't foresee it as being a huge expense. I just want to make sure that there is some kind of at least consistency.
That'd be cheaper than a new cart.
Mr. Chair, as a reference point, this is Will Abershoff, City Administrator. I met with the store director of the Safeway store, and he is very much aware that the city is looking at this policy. And as such, they're going to do what they can to lock up their carts. So my recommendation would be is support this, but let a soft rollout of it so we can work with the various businesses, because I know they are very interested in wanting to eliminate their carts disappearing as well.
So we have a motion. You want to keep that, or you want to amend that to make a soft rollout?
Yeah, with respect to city administrator's comments, I'd like to include that in the motion as well.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I second it.
A motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Trent?
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Hearing none, that's all. It's unanimous. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Garrett.
Uh-huh.
Okay, next is the Homeless Service Center operations update. Who has that?
Sure, if I may recommend that Jeff Hurd is not present today, nor is Tony Mitchell. We'll perhaps move that agenda item to the next meeting.
Okay, thank you, Fatma. Status update on no camping, no littering signs. Is that you, Chief?
I don't.
Or maybe Will.
I saw a bunch of them on somebody's desk as I walked down the hallway the other day.
Mr. Chair, I can fill in slightly with this because I worked on part of this. I did work with our city attorney's office on language for no camping and no littering, and those signs, I did approve those signs, and so I do know that they have been produced. I just don't know if they've been posted yet. That I can't confirm.
Okay. I'll drive around and look.
Can I interrupt the somewhat related question? The Supreme Court taking up the Hood River case, does that change anything with the camping status that we're looking at right now, or is that to be determined?
No, we included that with regards to the signage. And I'll make sure that in the future this committee has a copy of what that new sign is, because that was one piece that I worked on with the city attorney was the Hood River legal issue.
One thing, though, in hand in glove with that is the U.S. Supreme Court upheld Medford's time, place, and manner. There was a lawsuit against the city of Medford for their no camping, saying it violated the U.S. constitutional right to cruel and unusual punishment. The Supreme Court said, no, that's not the case. So maybe, Fatma, if you could find that ruling, it just came out like 2 days ago. We might want to bring it to this committee for consideration, and maybe if there's some really strong language in Medford's, we could maybe put it in Madras's, so we don't have to fight a different fight. It's already been ruled on, and if it's at the Supreme Court level, it's going to take another Supreme Court case to move off that language. So that's just a consideration.
Thank you.
And thank you, Fatma. This is the sign that I did work on. I appreciate it. I did not see it I didn't review the packet close enough.
Okay. Let's see. General discussion on severe weather and homeless needs. Jeff again? Okay. We'll move on. I know it's been used because our crew went out there. So let's see. Annual point in time count discussion. Trent, I heard it was news to you that you were included in that.
It was news to me. I was willing to spread the word and help set up a health fair that public health is doing tomorrow. But as far as the point in time count, that was news to me.
What is public health doing tomorrow?
We'll be setting up a mini health fair, doing blood pressure, blood sugar, vaccines.
At Warm Springs, and then the same thing the following.
Wednesday. I'm sorry, Wednesday. But tomorrow we'll be in Warm Springs, and then Wednesday we'll be up at the shelter.
Okay, so you are going to, thank you. That's where we're going to get our point in time, is Wednesday at the shelter.
Those exact time frame details have not been confirmed yet with the Faith-Based Network. We're hoping Mr. Mitchell would be here to provide some clarity, but we plan on being there. We'll show up first thing and leave when everyone's done.
So I know how we can collect numbers at the shelters, but how are we collecting numbers for those who like couch surf or in their cars or that kind of thing? How are we getting those numbers?
We specifically reached out to the Homeless Leadership Council for support with that, and we were politely told that Trent and Tony Mitchell would be in charge of that. And we haven't had confirmation of what that will look like.
So they put those two in charge of that without any resources or information or guidance.
Like they work for the government.
Oh my word. And it's starting to sound like OHA during COVID all over again. Sorry, Trent.
No, you're good. It's fine.
Okay. All right. The next meeting I see here is set for February 5th at same time, same bat channel. Any other things that need to be brought up?
I have a quick question about the tour that the city council did prior to opening. How did that go? What was feedback from council? Were there concerns? Were there?
I didn't see any right off the bat from my aspect, but I did get bombarded by text messages from our emergency manager, Sergeant Schedule. Did you get the same?
Yes, there are concerns with our shelter, yes.
His first thing was, you spent $4.2 million on my dad and no backup generator. And I'm like, well, I don't know if you know how far $4.2 million goes in a structure like this, but I think we're lucky we have what we have so far. And then I said, there's other things that we don't have, like space, counseling space for, you know, to bring ancillary resources to come in to meet with these people and get those kind of needs met. So I told him I think the rest of us have kind of agreed that this is phase one. So he said, oh, okay. So yeah, that'll be something we can put on the docket for phase two. So anybody else have a comment on there?
One thing, Mr. Mayor, is that we've been working with Frontier in our CAD system in order to be able to have a data point that we can collect for people we encountered, whether they're a witness, a suspect, or a victim, that claim homelessness. And so that is, we got notified last week that is now in there. So in the report writing system, they can have a pull down, a drop down, and they can flag it as homeless. There are a couple other things. They pick that box because there's other boxes in there you can check with domestic violence, you know, guns, violence, but one we were looking for was homeless. So we'll be able to at least track, and it doesn't matter what part they played. They were a victim, witness, or a suspect. So then we can be able to kind of have an idea. That might help at a point in time, but it also might help us address the direction we need to go with, you know, dealing with that population.
I just want to say kudos. We talked about that the last meeting, and that was something that was a vague concept. And now to hear that you've already rolled that out, that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
So kudos to you and the Frontier for making that effort, and then we'll give us another data point to look at.
Thank you, Chief. Does anybody else have anything else? That kind of sounded funny saying it that way, but is there any other topics of discussion we can bring up? Are we forgetting anything, Fatma? Will?
Trent, I do on the fact that if nobody knows about this point in time thing, and they put in the fact that Trent and
Tony Mitchell.
We're going to be missing a lot of people this year. Trent, is there any way you can have the people down when you go down to the homeless camp and have them come up on Wednesday to get counted?
Absolutely. I've been down there pretty much every day for the last 2 weeks since the cold start happening, and they're well aware of it, and they're spreading the word.
Okay, what kind of ideas do you have to finding or locating those people who, couch surfing, the people we don't see?
I see a few of those people in my program, so I've been spreading the word that way as well.
Okay, thank you. Will, are we missing anything?
No, sir.
Okay. I think we have a short meeting today. I'm not sure if that bothers anybody. You got that, Will? We're going to volunteer Nick for a bunch of stuff next meeting.
Okay, perfect. I'll be sure to let him know.
All right. Okay, well, if that's it, then we'll go ahead and adjourn at 2:22. Thank you, Fatma.
Thank you.
All right.